Doug Simmons. Oh, are you there?
Oh, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. It is he, as opposed to him.
Chris Ryan is here. We are ready to do another episode of Tell the Damn Story. I believe this is episode number 68. Is
yes,
that correct?
Yes, it is. It is 68. We are moving progressively towards that big number, that big three-digit number. We still got a few to go.
I can't even conceive of that yet, but we're going to have to make that a big shindig.
Absolutely, absolutely. we're also going to celebrate the 7-5, too. When we hit that one, we're going to celebrate that one.
That would be fantastic.
An excuse for a party. That's all I'm looking for.
Yeah. Well,
this is the first episode we've recorded for 2019.
This is. Welcome to 2019.
Yes, welcome.
It has begun. Just as surprising as 2018 was. One of the things that is kind of in the news these days that I think we should talk about up front. How about Aquaman heading towards $1 billion global box office?
Yeah, and how long has it been out?
I think it's four weekends now, maybe four weekends.
I don't want to be impressed by money alone, but dag.
Well, you know, in context, right? Just, what, half a dozen years ago, he was the butt of an ongoing joke, one of those, the Entourage HBO show, it was going to be, what kind of movie was this going to be? People making fun of the actor for being Aquaman. How many times has he been on the various nighttime cartoon shows, been the butt of jokes, you know? And these guys who did this movie, they took on every one of those jokes, every one of the elements of Aquaman that was seen as dorky or dumb or lame, and they turned everything on its ear. That movie is underwater Star Wars. That is a lot of fun. And it is going to be the most successful DC movie ever. Boy, that changes some things, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. You know, and I think, you know, again, people have to, I think we have to get real about a number of things in this world. But one of them is it's a movie. Okay, we've got actors, we've got comic book characters, and we've got movies. And does it really make your day to spend hours upon hours making fun of, you know, another human being? I mean, really, you got nothing else to do? Or to freak out, I mean, get viscerally angry about certain things? It's a movie. It's a fantasy. You know, come on, guys. Breathe. Exhale.
For all those people who spend time on the internet crapping on other people's creative efforts, whether it be Star Wars or DC movies or this and that. And I have been guilty occasionally, so I will slap my own self in the head on this. But is that the best use of your time? I mean, people are doing stuff. There are dozens and dozens of shows that are not to my liking, movies that are not to my liking. I don't turn them on. I don't go to them. I don't open that particular book, you know. You don't. What is it that Kevin Smith says? You don't have to push someone down to lift yourself up.
Yeah,
you know?
and he's right about that. Yeah, he's not the originator of that, or he's not the only person saying that. Most
he's
assuredly,
not. He's it just is the one I hear say it most often.
Right. It is, and it makes perfect sense. You know, it does, because you're expending that energy knocking other people. Why don't you spend that energy building something for yourself, you know, or creating something that's missing? But anyway, that's that. You know, the Aquaman movie. Yes, it's doing.
Yeah, it's and trendy. Best of luck to him.
Right, and let's just throw on there also, you know, another hey to Spider-Man the Spider-Verse, Spideyverse. You know,
won a couple of Golden Globes.
That's
it's
right.
Doing well in the box office
that's
as
right.
well.
And on not only on the level of what a great adventure, a great animation film, but a great story. People are coming away talking about it on multiple levels of quality. So I'm happy
story,
for that.
Great message for a time where we need that message. It is also, it's as close as experiencing a comic book on the big screen as I think we've seen. And once you make that slight adjustment to that, it's so much fun. This is a movie that has heart, that has adventure, that has Miles Morales, baby, that has Gwen looking. I wasn't a Spider-Gwen person. I never read any of her stuff, but the concept was really well executed.
And Spider-Ham? I mean, come on, Spider-Ham. You got to give him it up for Spider-Ham.
You know what?
Peter Porker.
Didn't want to like Spider-Ham. I so wanted to say, wow, that's the thing that's going to ruin the movie. And they used Spider-Ham to their best advantage, you know, like a really good spice that you toss in just a little bit, just enough.
Yep.
And it improves the meal. Same thing with Noir Spider-Man. I was like, Nick Cage, this could go wrong very easily.
You're talking about
God bless Nick, but you know, and the absolute, we'll say, nerve that he has, like the Ghost Rider movie. He was like, I'm just gonna be Elvis when my skull's not burning. That was hilarious and B movie and all that stuff, but it just shoved the entire movie in a, you know, in a B level direction or maybe a C level direction, you know. So he can do that. He can be over the top, but he wasn't here. He was a team player here, and big props for him. Mm-hmm. Big props for Chris Pine in a small role that he excelled at. It was wonderful. Yeah, so all around, they're just, you know, the guy who just won the Golden Globe for Green Book, he plays the Prowler, and what a fantastic performance. There's the guy who plays Miles's stepdad.
Yeah.
And those moments. Come on, you have to say it. Oh.
Yeah, right. On the speaker, you know.
In front of the whole school. Yeah, oh, my God. Yeah, that's a school time nightmare.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's what's trending, and I think it's fantastic. Those are two beautiful things. We have a lot of show, so what do you think?
Well,
ready to move on?
Yeah, I think we are. So what caught your attention?
This week, what caught my attention is Firefly. Big Damn Hero. It's a novel by James Lovegrove, original story concept by Nancy Holder, and the consulting editor is Joss Whedon. So you got names attached to this all over the place.
Oh.
Bottom line, what this is book one of a trilogy of Firefly books that take place within the continuity of the one and only season of that TV show. So it's before the movie. The whole cast is there. I saw the cover and mentioned it to my wife.
You might want to mention Firefly, what it is, because, I mean, they're rabid fans, but there are also a lot of people who might not know.
Firefly was a space opera cowboy western mix created by Joss Whedon for Fox Television. And Two of the main characters, Malcolm Reynolds being the main character. He's played by Nathan Fillion. He and one other were former Browncoats. These were rebels who lost the war to the Alliance. And they have a ship called Serenity. And they and their crew travel around getting small jobs to do. Some of them on the right side of the law, some of them not so much on the right side of the law, test their morality, and a collection of fantastic characters. I'm a big fan of Whedon's work, especially back then. And it's good to see the characters again. Lovegrove catches the personalities of each very well. The book goes and follows different characters' narratives, so you get into their head, and he captures each of these very distinct voices very well. I'm sure Whedon had a bit to do with this. Whedon has a reputation for giving work that has his name attached, a final polish. I don't know for a fact if he did it here, but it feels like it. There are some jokes that sound very Whedon-esque.
Whedon-esque, okay.
But again, book one of a three-book, of course, a trilogy. So there's going to be, for those of you who like Firefly and Serenity and consider yourself brown coats, here's some material. As a matter of fact, one of the interviews that I sent you from the recent PhilCon, well, it was the summer, or no, November, is an interview with two brown coats who are fans of the show, who come to, you know, brown coats go to various cons and book shows dressed in the costumes from the show Firefly.
Oh, so they're like cosplayers and so forth.
They also do like fundraising and charity work, and they're a pretty cool organization.
Yeah, there are guys like the 501, which is a Star Wars group, and there's also Ghostbusters groups that do that. So that's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
Well, you know, shout out to them for that.
Mm-hmm.
But the book caught my attention, and I mentioned it to the wife, who's working in a library. And before I knew it, there it was. So whatever else I was reading had to go to the side, and I've been having some fun with this.
Excellent. So you would say
big fun, ladies and gentlemen, big fun. All right, Alex, and now it's your turn. What caught your attention this week?
Well, you know, I'm kind of glad that we opened up with some jollification, as the phrase goes. You know, fun stuff, good stuff. Because unfortunately, the thing that caught my attention, it was just yesterday, is the loss of a very dear friend who was also extremely talented writer and artist in the comic book industry, and I'm talking about the one and only Batten Lash.
What a nice guy.
Yeah, what a great, great human being. Batten, I met, my goodness, over 30 years ago when I first started in the comic book industry, you know, working, doing writing and looking for work as well. But I had my Blackjack book was just getting ready to come out, and I was hitting some of the conventions. And you know, Batten was the kind of person that, you know, he was dapper in his dress. You know, he had these really cool kind of jackets and suits and ties and things. And it was just really he stood out without being, you know, flamboyant or ostentatious or anything like that. And
it always looked a little period to me.
Yeah, a little period. Or if you think about it, even the old TV series, here I go aging myself again, the old TV series with Patrick McGoohan, the prisoner, where they, you know, they had some of those jackets, those black blazers with the white trim on them and things like that. So it's either 1890s or a prisoner-esque.
I think I saw some of that on YouTube.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, thank you very much, Chris. Yeah, like I'm ancient and he's not. But Batten was, again, dapper. He was cordial. He was sharing in his information and making you feel welcome. His wife, Jackie, is just a super human being, and they're just a great couple. But Batten did a series called Wolf and Bird. And it was a black
Counselors
and white
of the Macabre,
right? And if it's a series, and people going Counselors of the Macabre, what the heck? The bottom line of it, I think one of the lines was the undead have lawyers, be afraid or something like that.
Right. He would put it out under supernatural law once in a while,
right? Again, these were independent publications. He was writing and drawing and publishing the work, and the work
and
was of great quality. Yeah, distributing. But that's the thing. He was back in those days, like with Bones and some of the other series, he was doing his own thing and putting it out there. And he did it all of these years. He always put out the work. He always worked for quality and consistency. If you met him at a con, he was always convivial and, you know, just a gentle, funny, sweet man. And
if I could add,
Of course, I'm not going to stop you from adding anything nice you want to say about him.
Well, I met him through you early on when I was coming to conventions purely in support of you. I hadn't put anything out. and you introduced me when he would come up to say hello, you know.
Yeah.
And you introduced me, and he was immediately supportive, treating me as, you know, a member of the industry where I had no right to be considered that way. He was supportive, and I remember he had a charming, quick wit.
Mm-hmm.
Never negative, never ripping anybody apart.
That wasn't his thing.
No, it was not his thing. But you don't get a lot of these people. And as you said, he was independent and publishing all this stuff at a time when, man, there were, you know, the foil covers and X-Men titles.
Right,
and
yeah.
All the cash grabs that they were doing. And yeah, just Marvel, DC,
every comic that came out was considered a collectible. I mean, come on.
Yeah, and he was putting out stuff that was fun.
Yes, fun and in black and white. Fun. And I even remember there was a point where a couple of the distributors and certain other people who were reviewing comics with a certain sort of hoity-toity attitude would comment that black and white was dead. You know, you couldn't do quality in black and white. It had to be color, and it had to be the modeling, you know, computer coloring with, you know, all of the fancy tricks that go with that, because nobody's going to read anything else. And there was Batten just doing it Wolf and Bird, and his covers were in color, but the interiors were black and white. The humor was there. The stories were there. There was subtext in there, and all just beautifully put together consistently of quality.
And you know what's one of the beautiful things is you could go on to Amazon or wherever else you buy comic books. You can probably find Wolf and Bird, Counselors of the Macabre, or Supernatural Law. Order it today, get it this week, open it up and enjoy it, because it's timeless.
Yeah.
You know, light humor, trading on the staples of the horror genre in a fun way.
Without it becoming a bloodbath, you know, or.
Yeah, didn't it kind of remind you of like a mix of Universal monsters and Archie?
Yeah.
Right, it was kind of as light as Archie, as timeless as Archie, a classic Archie, and as timeless and classic as those characters. It was fun, or maybe Scooby-Doo.
Well, the only thing that I would add to that is it was more sophisticated than some of the humor and antics within, but at the same time, it was funny. It was light. It also touched on, you know, topics, you know, without being preachy or anything like that. It just, you know, just really was, for at least as far as myself and a lot of the fan base was concerned, it was just the right amount, the right number of ingredients of a really perfect stew.
It's amazing, and we should talk about the man for a minute, but it's amazing how well written, how subtly drawn all this was, so that all of it kept that balance. It never got preachy. It never got overly heavy. It never got too fluffy and light. That's a master at his at his craft.
Yeah.
And he should be remembered that way.
Well,
for his generous personality, he was a really good guy.
I was going to say that he definitely is going to be remembered for who he was, the kind of person he was, the kind of human being that I prefer meeting more often, you know, because we can spend the little bit of time we have on this planet bashing people. We can spend a lot of time, as one of the coaches and mentors calls it, pissing in everybody's punch bowl. If you really want to do that, okay, that's a small goal in life. But
well, as far as I know, Batten never went anywhere near.
And that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm. Oh, just behave. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that Batten is in my mind, because yes, he has left us physically, but in my mind, the way I see him is one of those, you know, fun, open, elegant people who just was trying to add a little more joy and gentleness to life. And I think that that, you know, you don't have to be a gentle person per se, but you don't have to be the bull in the china shop. You don't have to be the ugly, you know, gorilla. You can just move through life and create and be a good human being. And that's what he was. And that's one of the things that I'm going to remember most about him was, as you said, his welcome, open heart and mind, and the fact that he, whenever I saw him, and I'll say this last thing too, but whenever I saw him, it was always a joy. And the last time I saw him, I was, you know, honored to be a judge at the Eisners, for the Eisners, last year. And so it was April of last year. I was out in San Diego to sit for 4 days reading comics and graphic novels. And Jackie, his wife, was a part of the team that did that. And so I saw Jackie every day for hours as we all sat around working on this material and talking and discussing and everything. And then we would periodically go to lunch or dinner together. And so when I saw Batten while I was out there, it was so much fun to see him and to talk with him. He was born and raised in New York, but, you know, he lived on the West Coast. And I didn't know that that was the last time I was going to see him. And it sort of, when Jackie posted yesterday that he was gone, it sort of hit me, not hard, not like a gut punch, but it just sort of like the hand on my shoulder, just sort of a gentle squeeze that said, you've said it 1,000 times, say it 10,000 times more. Tell people that you love, respect, or love and respect. Tell them now while they're here. Spend as much time as you can with them while they're here. Because the good words, they sound nice at a eulogy, but it's always so much better to be able to let them know how much they meant to you. And I really, really, really
wish...
Well,
how much they mean to you, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Celebrate them now.
Yeah, yeah, tell it to them now. Exactly. So, Batten, thank you for mucho many years of good times, great friendship, and some guidance along the way, even though you didn't know that you were offering that. And yeah. I will absolutely remember you forever.
As will I, as one of the people who immediately welcomed you into the community, you know, and the same experience that same weekend, I experienced the other end of that. So it makes me appreciate Batten Lasher all the more. You know, we need more people, more creatives like Batten Lash. His ability to make newbies feel welcome and feel that they have a place in the creative community.
Yeah, he doesn't play hierarchy. So, yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah.
Well, we just last episode, I believe that would be episode 67.
You're enjoying the numbers on this, aren't you? Yeah.
The numbers. I love the numbers. Yeah. But we featured an interview that I did with L.A. DiPaolo.
Yes.
Whose first book, debut novel, Forebodings, Conquerors of Katara.
Try saying that out. 6 times fast.
Yeah, it's still, you know, God bless that book. So we interviewed him, and he was nervous before the interview. When we cut in the middle because customers were at his table.
So that's a good thing.
I even say it in the interview. You can go back and listen. And I let him go and deal with them and come back, and we continued. And he was like, he thought we'd have to start all over again, and it's just the style of the interview is, you know, to reflect what's really going on. And then afterwards, he was worried that he, you know, that the interview wasn't interesting enough. It was fantastic. He's charming. If you listen to it, he's got this great Italian charm in his voice that is fun to listen to. So when we posted it, of course, I shared it to Tony, L.A., is also known as Tony. And he was like, oh, I just, you know, I wish I was smooth and all that. And I told him, I think this is kind of some of the stuff that Batten taught us, you know.
Yeah.
I was like, you were perfect. You know, every bit, every minute of that, every second of that interview is you.
Yeah.
You know, you can hear you as a person. And that's the best thing. That's the best service we can do with those interviews. And we learned. I mean, I learned it from you. I learned it from Bat and Lash. I learned it from a few people who, when I came in to for a brief time with comics and then more with the prose publications, also with some film work with Phoenix Films, it's the people who welcome you and allow you to feel like, oh, your creativity is welcome here. Those are the people who, it's almost like they help you exist, you know?
Well, I mean, they've actually, again, yes, we do in entertainment and in politics and in certain other realms, we have hierarchies. You know, there's the people who are successful or rich or whatever, and then there's everybody else. And some of us play to that and some of us don't. But the reality is, I have met, and I know you have met, and people out there listening, I know you've met people that you considered were up there somewhere on the ladder above you who didn't treat you that way. Mm-hmm. Because they, in their heads, are, hey, we're all here. We're all humans, or we're all artists, or we're all in this for the same, or we're all doing the best we can. So I don't need to play that card. And I think... Right. I think what you were saying about DePaulo is that he was genuine.
Yeah.
And that's what people really need to see more or hear more, is when someone's being genuine about what they're sharing with you.
And I tell you, you know, you have to give yourselves some credit. He did the hard work of creating an intriguing fantasy world. He had a beautiful cover. He's now republishing with a new cover, so he has his eye on what can we do to improve the project. Mm-hmm. Product.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, I downloaded from audible.com the audio version of the book, and I'm listening to that.
Who's reading
fascinated.
It?
He's gotten there before we have. And I'd love to pull him back for an interview on how he did that, because you know, that he's just out of the gate embracing those platforms. Mm-hmm. That might be an interesting conversation.
Did he read the book?
Say what?
Did he do the narration of the book? Is he reading?
No, he hired somebody. You know, all that stuff. So.
So he's got that professional quality. He's going for quality.
Music as effects and that kind of thing. So it's engaging, a very engaging listen. And I listen to stuff all the time, podcasts, you know, audiobooks. I tend to do nonfiction. Now I'm doing fiction on that. So it's really fun to see that he has achieved these things. And the more he allows himself to recognize, I think the easier he'll be on himself. Yeah. And you know, it took me a long time to stop embracing the negative and start embracing the positive. So I'm, you know, this is a very different Chris Ryan than
Alex
used to have to tutor and mentor and tell me to stop giving myself such a hard time.
Well, you know, it's funny you should mention that. And again, what we're talking about here, folks, you know, with remembering Batten, but also with Mr. DePaulo and with some of the others that we have referenced in this conversation, is we're talking about that experience of stepping out into the world with your art or with whatever it is you have to share, and being who you are and being ready as best you can to accept what comes. And I was at a screening Friday night of student films, because I sometimes teach screenwriting at the New York Film Academy. And three of my students had their work up, and it was fun. We watched the films. There was an audience there. We watched the film, this lovely theater. The director who had trained them, you know, gave the opening speech. And we watched all three films, and then these students were graduating, and they were going to go, after a year with us, they were going to go forward and study in L.A. at the Los Angeles division of NYFA. And so we gave out, one at a time, their diplomas. And the young man who had directed one of the strongest, most touching pieces of the three, and they were all great, stepped up and proceeded to talk about how he wanted to try to do something but it didn't work, and he's going to try, you know, he's going to do better, but, you know, he wished it had worked, and he kept coming back to it didn't work. And I wanted to pop him upside his head, you know, because I might have done it if there hadn't been a bunch of people watching. Because, the thing of it is, the audience has sat there being moved by what he did. And yes, we understand it's not perfect. We understand you're a student, and this is the beginning of that road that you're on.
Mm-hmm.
But we see promise there. We were touched by what we saw. We saw what you were going for. We applauded, not out of politeness, but out of a genuine reaction, positive reaction to the work. And unfortunately, I think that young man sat there and saw only the flaws. And I'm reminded of,
you know, we can all do that.
Yes,
but you have to grow past that, and you know, this is the work, warts and all.
Right. And Harry Chapin has in one of his songs, you know, Mr. Tanner, he talks about, you know, that he sings and he only heard the flaws. You know, so it's a thing of where, yes, you're going to hear or see the flaws. You're going to know they are there. But you've also got to, you have to try and train yourself to see the positives, the things that you did accomplish, the things that did work, because that's what you're building off of. If you only see what didn't work, it affects your perception of your work. It affects your perception of how to move forward. And for some people, it paralyzes you. You give up. You walk away. So
some of that is nerves, and some of that, honestly, is, you know, the environment you grew up in.
Mm,
you know, you grew up in an environment where people said, no, you can't. You believe you can't. If you grow up in an environment where people say, yes, you can, then that's what you learn. So sometimes we have to do the Yoda and unlearn what we have learned.
There is no maybe. There's no try. There's only do. Yeah, right.
Yeah. But, you know, again, Batten, Joe R. Lansdale, and most often
Dick
you
Giordano.
Sorry?
No, I was just going to say Dick Giordano. I didn't know where you were going.
Yeah, Dick Giordano. And you have been one of those influences that taught me to, you know, forget the negative and work on improving the positive. And I tell you, it is a fact of my life that I am grateful that after all these decades together, that we're still working together, and I'm still learning from you, and we get to work shoulder to shoulder on stuff like blackjack, and tell the damn story. And I, you know, every once in a while, you know, we talked about, you know, celebrating people while they're still around. We missed that opportunity with Batten. I want to tell you that I am grateful for you and all that you have done, and the positive influence that you have been in my life. And so thanks a lot, Alex Simmons.
Oh, geez. Thank you, Chris. you do this to me every now and then. I'm going to do one for you because I sort of, you know, have kept quiet about without going too deeply into an aspect of my personal life. 2 years ago, I went through a major health scare. And it was not something that came and went in a matter of days or weeks. It was several months. And it was a difficult time. I often joke that we Simmonses are a hardy breed. And, you know, my mom's raised me solo, so, you know, I know what tough women and strong women are like, and I know what, you know, strong men are like in my life too. But this period was difficult. It was very difficult for me. It was a lot that made it feel like I'm not sure how this is going to work out. And one of the people that not only from the beginning said, I got your back, I'm here, we're going to go through this together, was you. One of those people who stepped up instantly and even came up with something to do over those months that we could work on together that would help take my mind off of the bit of a wrestling match that I was in. And I sincerely believe, and I've sat and I've talked about Billy Graham and the things that he did to help me through that difficult time when I was 18 and you know, a lot of the world seemed to be crumbling around me. I add you to that mantle of knights who rode to the rescue and
that's very nice of you.
Who kept the beast at bay long enough for me to get strong enough to stand with you and to come out the other end of that. And I would say that it would have been a lot harder, a lot darker, a lot scarier if you hadn't been there. So well, I thank you for that.
I learned from good people. You know, I had good examples, yourself, my pop. You know, even Batten in the few brief moments that I was in his presence, you know, I've always been very impressed with those who can do for others and not have the handout, not ask, not even consider what's in it for me. I think that's the way you move the world forward. And it was very easy to do it for you. Because that's how we roll. Thank you very much for even mentioning it.
You know, like I said, I had to. You know, practice what you preach.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, I love you, buddy.
And I guess that's the message for this Baton Lash themed episode.
Yeah.
Take a page from his book, you know. Not the monster, Counselors of the Macabre.
But although that could be interesting, life. Yeah.
You know, yeah, and... He was a positive force in that industry and a positive force in the life of those around him, and so can you. You can be the same thing. Every day we get up, we make a choice. Every minute that we're interacting with other people, we make a choice.
Yeah.
We could be positive, or we can go the other way.
I'm going to say that as a toast to Baton, and I intend to be doing that throughout the day, one thing that I would suggest to people out there, creatives and otherwise, is dedicate a certain amount of time each day to forming more friends than foes.
There you go.
Yeah, you know, that's a toast to Baton. That's one of the things that he did, and it's one of the things that you and I have been trying to do with our lives, and I suggest that strongly to everyone out there.
It's a good feeling, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Give it a shot.
You got it. And that's us one more time doing what, sir?
Well, we're trying to be positive as a way to tell the damn story.
Good talking to you, Chris.
Great talking to you. Yeah. We'll talk to you soon. This is episode 68. Next episode is 69.
Yes.
We're ready to go.
Right. Go back and check episode 67 here, Mr. DiPaolo. You know, especially you independents who are jumping out on the train or jumping up onto the train for the first time, or you've been on it, you're not quite sure who to talk to and everything. Just listen and understand what we were saying today. And I would also say, folks, you know, we ask every week, give us some comments, you know. Tell us who inspires you, or tell us who has helped you move further along the trail as you aspire to whatever it is. You know, whether it's
celebrate a positive influence.
Yeah,
write it in the comments. That would be
write
cool.
It in our comments. And you know what? You could even, and again, another tribute to Baton. If you're on social media, pop it up there. You know, pop it up on our comments, and we'll happily talk about it. But throw it up on whatever social media that you inhabit. And just say, hey, this is a shout out to so and so, because
that'd be cool.
That's it. I think that's one way of really, you know, honoring some good people out there. Okay, and on that note, Chris, catch you next time.
Catch you next time. Peace.
Peace.